Jos is the capital of Plateau State, and the state has a long history of ethnic and religious conflict that goes way back to before Boko Haram was founded. Darren Q is a Nigeria expert and a professor at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. He says Boko Haram has been trying to penetrate into Plateau State for years.
It's been trying nationwide to situate itself as the protector of Muslims and the true Islam in general. And Jos is very much a banner conflict across northern Nigeria because it's a Christian majority state. And there's a small Hausa Muslim community in Jos that has been struggling for increased political rights and economic controls in the state.
And the Hausas are one of the predominant ethnic groups in Nigeria.
It is the largest ethnic
the
group
largest,
in Nigeria. But it's a local minority in this particular state. And so Boko Haram has been trying to insert itself in this conflict. It's been unsuccessful so far. I think that this is probably another attempt on their part.
So Jos is a city with a kind of seemingly sporadic history of Christian-Muslim violence. Do you think some people in Jos might actually welcome Boko Haram?
I don't think so. I don't think it is particularly popular anywhere in the nation, particularly given its latest activities, the kidnappings that have been so high profile, but also the wanton killing that it's been doing. Roughly two-thirds of the deaths in Boko Haram activities have been Muslims. So there may be some small fringe elements in Jos that have common cause with Boko Haram and may have cooperated with them on this, but I wouldn't say that the majority of the community or even some of the fighters on the House side would necessarily be in lockstep with Boko Haram.
I know you get to Nigeria quite a bit, Darren. When were you last in the north and what struck you about just, you know, the mood there right now?
I was just in Nigeria in March, and the situation has certainly gotten the security situation has certainly gotten worse since I was there previously over the winter. There's definitely a palpable feeling of tension across the north. People are taking far more security measures in their daily practices. Up until about January, there was a feeling that the insurgency had been contained in the two core northeastern states that Boko Haram had been active in. But they've broken out of that core in these last few months. And so, again, folks are feeling like they too could be targets.
I mean, it feels like I read about some kind of attack almost every other day in Nigeria now. Did you have any close calls yourself?
I've been fortunate that I haven't been particularly close, but I've gone in to investigate some of the areas where some local violence has taken place. And people are certainly scared. But in true Nigerian fashion, people keep moving forward and they keep doing what they have to do.
Now, the other interesting thing that you can bring to this conversation, Darren, is that the conflict resolution program that you're with at the University of Massachusetts Boston has actually been partnering with a Nigerian group in Jos. Just tell us what you're doing with them.
Yes, we're working with the Interfaith Mediation Center, which is an organization that consists of imams and pastors who were former enemies and later reconciled. And their central message is essentially that, you know, if we can reconcile, you can too. They were initially radicals who tried to kill each other on multiple occasions and later found each other and have been working since the mid-1990s to bridge the Muslim-Christian divide. And just as importantly, to try to set up architecture whereby they can manage exactly these sorts of crises. So right now, for instance, we're receiving a lot of calls concerned about potential reprisal attacks.
Don't want you to leave without asking you about your thoughts on this kind of sudden international efforts, which appear to be organized at both high government level, but also spontaneously in social media, referring, of course, to schoolgirls who were kidnapped from Chibok. What do you think all of these efforts, what kind of effect are they actually having?
I think that the international attention is tremendously important. The Nigerian government in general, regardless of who's in power, is notorious for not moving particularly fast unless there is some sort of international embarrassment involved. And the fact that the international community is looking so closely at what's happening, particularly with the kidnapped girls, I think has definitely lit a fire under the Jonathan administration to take some more forceful action. I also think that the civil society activity, the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls site, has been very, very important in galvanizing Nigerian civil society to act on this and to try to continue to push the government to do what it should be doing, which is not only trying to bring those girls home, but to try to improve the security situation and to try to do something more effective about Boko Haram.
Darren Q, professor of conflict resolution at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
By the way, we learned the U.S. has today deployed 80 military personnel to help in the effort to find the kidnapped girls. In a letter to Congress, President Obama said the troops will be flying reconnaissance missions from their base in Chad Nigeria's neighbor.